Joining us now is Stephen Bridgewater, deputy editor of Aerospace Magazine for the Royal Aeronautical Society. And due to the technology of the world, this is great because Stephen and I have actually done a webinar and we've been in contact with each other, emailing back and forth. But today, right now, just moments ago, was the first time we physically met each other.
Face to face.
Face to face. I know. But yeah, I feel like I know you because we've corresponded and you have been leading a crazy vacation, I guess. Well, a little bit of work, a little bit of vacation in the last few weeks at air shows.
You can't call it work, yeah, can you, really? I've got a hobby I get paid for. I'm incredibly lucky. No, the last few weeks I've been the Royal International Air Tattoo in the UK, straight from there to the Shuttleworth Collection with all its vintage aeroplanes, straight then to Farnborough for the Farnborough International Air Show. Spent 6 days at Farnborough, a couple of trips in and out of central London for events and functions. And then hot-footed it straight to Heathrow to fly to Chicago to come to Oshkosh for my 10th visit to AirVenture. So I'm home. I feel like I'm at home.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, now, last time you were here was 2019. You were dangerously close to being here last year.
I very nearly got here last year. Obviously, none of us were here in 2020. Right. Yep. Being a journalist, I was allowed to travel in 2021.
Yep.
Yeah, 21. But I needed a national interest exemption certificate. And I got that. But I got it on the Tuesday of AirVenture Week, so the best laid plans just didn't quite work. So 2019. My first trip here was 2003.
Okay.
So centenary of flight. What a year to make your first AirVenture.
So what does it feel like being back? Any big things that stand out? Changes that you've seen?
It's just nice to be back with friends. And we've had that in the UK this year as well. So Farnborough was the first year that we've had Farnborough for 4 years. Right. So it's a biennial show. Mm-hmm. So it's just catching up with people face to face. As you said, we've managed to stay in touch through Zoom and Teams, right, and what have you. But you can't beat face to face contact, shaking somebody's hand and,
right,
having a beer. It's just nice to mix. And we're a sociable species, aren't we?
We are.
We've missed that. I arrived on site yesterday, and I've seen so many people I've not seen for so long. So that's my big, big thing is I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do for the society.
I joined the Royal Aeronautical Society earlier this year. Mm-hmm. I've been a magazine editor for 22 years now. Mostly in the general aviation world. I work for a magazine called Today's Pilot, mm-hmm, and Pilot Magazine. Many people may know Pilot Magazine. And I kind of went into the historical aviation world, did a couple of historic aircraft magazines and books and things like that, helped set up a couple of aircraft museums in the UK, and was tempted back into the journalism world a while ago. And the Royal Aeronautical Society needed a deputy editor. Their deputy editor was retiring after 22 years in the job, so it must be a good job. I'm working on that basis. So we're quite unusual. We've produced the magazine for the members of the Royal Aeronautical Society. We've got 22,500 members, and they're all aerospace professionals, so pilots, designers, engineers, software developers. So our magazine covers the whole gambit of aviation, everything from light aircraft to space flight to sustainability, which is the big, big thing at Farnborough this year. We kept joking that we're going to have a little bell for every time somebody in a press conference says sustainability, we're going to go ding, ding, because it's the buzzword this year, and rightly so. It's some amazing developments coming out. So I've just seen Ampere Eel. I'm really, yep, keen to go out and see those guys. So that's the sort of topic that we cover. Anything that's new, cutting edge, technological, revolutionary, that's our bag.
Good. And you just recently honored for your work as well?
Thank you. Yes, I won an award at the Aerospace Media Awards this year, so for an article I wrote on cabin experience. So I used to work for a magazine called Aircraft Cabin Management, which, yes, it was as dull as it sounds. And I wrote an article on aircraft filtration systems. Such a rock and roll life I've got. And it won an award. So big, big privilege. I didn't expect that. We were at, would you believe the dinner was actually at my office at the Royal Aeronautical Society in London. So it was a big, big surprise. Nice to be honored by your peers.
Yes.
There were, I don't know how many entries into the various categories. I was shortlisted for two this year. And it's all judged by fellow journalists, so it's nice that your peers recognise you for, yes, what you've done. Makes it all, I jest. I have a hobby I get paid for. This is great, great fun. But we work long hours, mm-hmm, and it's nice that you get recognised for what you do.
Congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
Stephen Bridgewater is joining us today from the stand. Tell us a little bit about Farnborough. Many of us who are here at AirVenture don't have a chance to see that show as well. So if you could compare and contrast, and maybe you tell us some of the neat things that you saw there this week.
Yeah, by all means, it's a completely different event to AirVenture in that there's very little GA there. There were a couple of the Pipistrel electric aircraft, the Velis, there were a few of those there. Apart from that, I think the smallest aeroplane on site was a Caravan, Cessna Caravan. It's very much a military show and modern airliners. So in the flying display, we'd got the Airbus A350, we'd got the Boeing 777X, we'd got the 737 MAX 10. So you see those big aeroplanes flying, not just a flypast, but flying a proper routine, you know, probably 60 degrees of bank at the top of the wingos. The Embraer E190, it's called the Tech Shark. It's their development aeroplane. On Friday, he took off into what's effectively a stall turn, a hammerhead. This is a twin-engine jet airliner. It climbed up at something like 60 degrees, nose up, and a boot full of rudder at the top. You don't see that many places. I was lucky enough to meet the guys from the Turkish aircraft industries and got a first look inside their TFX program, which looks a bit like an F-22, kind of a cross between an F-22 and an F-35. I was the first non-Turkish journalist to get a look inside the cockpit there, which was really interesting. If you could imagine four iPads stacked vertically, that's the cockpit layout that you can either have four independent displays or you can toggle across and have one big display or half and half. So they're looking at rolling that aeroplane out in March next year. March the 18th, they've been specific, and it will do an engine run on March the 18th. With a view to flying in 2025. So it's interesting to look at what's going on elsewhere in the world rather than just the countries that you think of for aerospace development.
Right. Yes. And we're pleased to the Airbus that arrived here a little bit earlier this morning.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have the 350 in the display, and there was a 220 on static. And the big day for me was Friday. We had the Pioneers of Tomorrow Day, which was all about inspiring the next generation of engineers and pilots and aviation professionals. So obviously the Royal Aeronautical Society had a big involvement in that. Swarms and swarms of kids around, and it's so great to see just the eyes light up. Yeah, you get somebody, up close to an aeroplane, you sit them in a cockpit or they peer over the side, and that's what we need to do. That's how we light that fire for that next generation. That's my hobby horse, if you like. The first magazine I edited 20-odd years ago was aimed at getting kids involved in flying as a career and a hobby, and it's something that I've hung on to ever since. It's my little, I could talk the hind legs off a donkey, as my grandma used to say.
You were also recently inducted into a very prestigious guild.
Yeah, I've been a member of the Guild of Air Pilots and Air Navigators. We're now the Honourable Company of Air Pilots for a number of years, but I was recently elected onto the court. So for those that don't know, a guild is something which dates back, nearly 1,000 years in the UK. Goes back to the City of London, so not Greater London, what's generally known as the Square Mile. So that was was and still is the financial hub of the city. And effectively, a guild was a way to trade within the city. So if you imagine, it was almost like a trading standards or a quality control. You had to become a member of a guild to sell your swords or your leather or your cutlery or whatever it happened to be. And so the first guild was the Guild of Weavers, which I believe 1155, and they're still around. Obviously, we don't have the guilds in a professional sense anymore, but we now have guilds as almost a charitable organization. So I'm a member of what was the Guild of Air Pilots and Air Navigators, now the Honorable Company. We had a Royal Charter in 2014. We were upgraded to an Honorable Company, because obviously all pilots are honorable. We all know that. I started off as an associate, which is the equivalent of an apprentice. Then you become a freeman. So the gist is, you would do your apprenticeship, but then you were a freeman. You were free to work within the city. And then you eventually take the livery, and in medieval times, that was when you had your own business. So I became a liveryman. So I'm a liveryman of the Honourable Company of Air Pilots, which means I've got lots of fairly dubious benefits. If I'm sentenced to death, I'm entitled to a silk rope, which apparently is far more comfortable. If I'm found drunk and disorderly within the walls of the City of London, the arresting officer is duty-bound to put me in a cab and send me home. I'm not going to test that one. Likewise, idea. I'm not going to test the one that says I'm allowed to carry an unsheathed sword in public in the city. But I think perhaps the most famous of the benefits is we are allowed to drive our sheep across London Bridge. And that is something that each guild does once a year. We still pick certain members of the guild. And for charity, we drive sheep across London Bridge. And that was the big trading. You could bring your flock in to trade in the city. But now, we, you know, a bit like the Royal Aeronautical Society, we're here to further aviation, to support the industry, lots of charitable work, lots of steering groups and committees. So it's a nice, it's very British. Although we do, yeah, we do have members around the world as well. We, you know, we've got a US region, which is predominantly Canadians, but we, you know, we let the Americans in as well. We're not prejudicial on this. And you know, you could become a liveryman. You could swear, you know, you could swear your oath to the Queen and become a liveryman of the Honorable Company of Air Pilots here in the USA.
There we go. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to this week?
I think it's going to be looking around the trade stands at what the latest technologies are. I think there's a big push now, as we keep saying that, ding, ding, sustainability's here. Looking at some of the electric flights, looking at the developments in sustainable aviation fuel. And I think that's something which is, yeah, it's the same as the eVTOL market. We've been on the cusp of this for a while, and I think we're getting to the point now where it's within touching distance. I joined the general aviation world 20-odd years ago when we were on the cusp of the VLJ revolution. Remember that? The very light jets.
Yes.
And we sorted the wheat from the chaff, and the guys that were designing a VLJ in their back bedroom, some of those came to something, some of them didn't. I think we're at that point now where we're starting to sort the wheat from the chaff with the eVTOL market, the urban air mobility, personal mobility, whatever you want to call it. I think we're getting to that point. So it's been interesting to look around at who's here, who's really on the cusp of making it big.
Excellent. Stephen, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy week. You arrived on Saturday?
Flew into Chicago late Saturday night, drove up here on Sunday.
Okay.
But it's just a privilege. It's a pilgrimage to Oshkosh that, you know, I've wanted to do since I was a child, and did it in 2003. And once it gets in your blood, you can't escape.
There you go. Thank you for joining us. And you're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.